3 times bigger than this.
Listening to All Access Pass, created by the Accessibility Collective on 101.9 CITR FM.
CITR's collectively run show that covers issues of inclusion, equity, and accessibility for people with diverse cognitive and physical abilities.
On campus and beyond.
We are broadcasting live from our studio in the AMS Student Nest on the traditional, ancestral, occupied, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people.
Good afternoon, everybody. You are listening to All Access Pass. I'm Desi Nair. I'm the Access Collective Coordinator for All Access Pass and the Accessibility Collective. And today on All Access Pass, you're going to be listening to an interview I did with Rob Dunfield on Tuesday. Now, Rob Dunfield is the program coordinator for the Rick Hansen Ambassadors Program. Now, many of you have maybe have heard of the Rick Hansen Foundation or heard of Rick Hansen. With that, we're going to just tune into this interview. It was very interesting, very eye-opening, I would say. So, hi, I'm joined on All Access Pass with Rob Dunfield from the Rick Hansen Foundation. Now, Rob, can you tell us who you are and what your role is over at the Rick Hansen Foundation?
Okay, I'm Rob Dunfield, and I received a spinal cord injury about 8 years ago when I was 19 years old, and obviously learned a lot about disabilities at that time, and got to know Rick Hansen very well over the years, and about 16 years ago I was able to join his team at the Rick Hansen Foundation, and also create an ambassador program, and that sort of who I am and a little bit and what I do right now. I'm program manager. I was for many years for the Rick Hansen Ambassador Program, and now I've stepped back a bit, and I'm a project manager and looking at online training.
Awesome. So kind of starting with the Rick Hansen Foundation, can you tell us a little bit about what the Rick Hansen Found does? What does your organization do in regards to accessibility?
Okay, great. Yeah, you know, as I think many of your listeners would know, that Rick Hansen, 1987, completed his Rick Hansen Man in Motion world tour, which took over 2 years of his life, and not long after that, in 1988, he created the Rick Hansen Foundation, because he wanted to continue on promoting the dialogue around disabilities. That's why he left in the first place around the world, was really to start the dialogue on a global stage, and was able to really bring a lot of awareness to what a person with a disability is able to achieve if just given that opportunity. And then he made a lot of, he actually just received a lot of donations, over $26 million, or close to that, and they wanted to, you know, continue to give back and be a leader. I mean, he could have stopped there. He gave over 2 years of his life, but he decided, I want to, continue creating awareness. So for the last 3 decades, foundation has raised awareness, changed attitudes, and removed barriers for people with disabilities. as well as fund spinal cord injury research and care. And they've made real great strides towards creating an accessible and inclusive world. But definitely there is, as you can appreciate, I'm sure, still lots more to be done. And so, the last several years, we've partnered with a lot of other disabilities. You know, the Rick Hansen Foundation serves, you know, people with physical disabilities, and we define now physical disability as a broad term that describes mobility or sensory impairment, and so hearing loss or visual loss. And so, and we have a bigger mandate than what Rick had initially created. It was more around people with spinal cord injuries. He was a real, you know, leader for that community. And as we've gone along, the foundation has branched out into, you know, helping and supporting persons with a broader range of disabilities.
So what is going on with the Rick Hansen Foundation, specifically in BC?
Well, you know, Dizzy, we are a national organization, so we're always focused right across the country. We are, you know, also reaching out globally to other partners, other countries, to work on, you know, similar, visions that they might have. But our real focus is Canada, and then, of course, you know, British Columbia is a very important part of that. That group or that approach, and so we are offering right now moving towards accessibility in the built environment, and that is something that we find very exciting. I remember Desi when I was injured so many years ago, there was no. Handicap parking. There was no cut curbs. There was no public or private transportation. You know, we were really called shut-ins for a reason, and there was just no way to get around. The city and probably 95% of the buildings were inaccessible, and the ones that, you know, were accessible, it was not by design. It was definitely, you know, more just an accident. They happened to be. So now it's reversed. Probably 95% are accessible or more, and that has a lot to do with Rick and the foundation. That, you know, creating, you know, bylaws to make sure that the communities are accessible. Definitely in Vancouver, and as we move farther out into BC, you can see that happening in many of the communities, and that we still belong. Way to go, as I mentioned. So right now, we're really taking a national approach on creating an accessibility certification program to measure a building's accessibility and determine how to, you know, meet requirements. And this program is the only one in Canada using a rating system and to identify and certify accessibility built or accessible built environments based on a consistent methodology. You know, so often different provinces are doing different approaches or programs around accessibility, and so we're trying to just unify all that and make sure that they reach a certain level of accessibility. So that's exciting. We have accessibility teams that go out and they will rate. Right now, we're doing in Vancouver, Victoria as a pilot, but they'll go rate different venues, office buildings that want to have a better understanding of how accessible they are and are they, you know, meeting the needs of their clients or their customers. So that, and their staff that might have a disability that work there. So it's So it's exciting, and that's a big program to try and make it, you know, a national accessibility certification program.
Mm-hmm. And would you say maybe some of the biggest challenges that your team comes across when it comes to making buildings accessible?
Well, you know, I think it's sometimes it's actually afterwards. It's, you know, coming in and sharing with the vendor, the owner or the CEO, that they need to have certain areas in the washer more accessible and have a better ramp, not so steep. So you help them understand where there are barriers, but it's the follow through that quite often they just feel, oh, it's going to be too expensive.
Right.
Or not, or just feel it's, do I need to do this? So we go in and a real sort of partnership and try and encourage them to, look at, where they can improve and then follow up to, try and make sure we can keep supporting them on that and not just meeting the bare minimum.
Right.
To try and say, hey, you guys can. Yes, have an accessible washroom, but is it really accessible? Are the lights high enough up, or low enough, rather? And is door easy to access? And are the stalls wide enough? And do they have grab bars in the right place? So that's sort of what we're trying to do, just have it unified and having sort of a standard. Where you go, this is the minimum which we want. What we're trying to raise that level more than it's ever been, just the minimum level, but encourage them to create the platinum sort of level and go all the way in with a much more accessible, thus inclusive environment.
So you're kind of trying to bridge the, on paper, exemption accessibility with, real understandings of accessibility from your own team.
That's right, and do it in a less threatening way. I think anything mandated is tough. People tend to resist that, so we're trying to, create. Look, this is, I help them understand. This is in their best benefit, and as you know, people with disabilities have a huge disposable income, and if if they can get into restaurants easily and feel that the staff is, comfortable with their disability and making sure there's a number of areas that they can easily, access if it's a restaurant or a retail store, whatever it might be, you just want to make sure that that's a great experience. And I think that more and more employers are understanding that there's a real community here that they can provide, service to, that they'd be missing out on their dollars. You always want to look at, hey, that's, do it because it's the right thing, but that doesn't motivate a lot of people. It's doing it because of the bottom line, and you don't want to do it, as I said, as much because it's mandated, but I think it also... There's a lot of organizations or companies that feel like, well, if everybody has to do it, then I'm in. I'm okay, but I don't want to do it. I don't sort of have to. So that's where the it's a bit more of legislation or a unified, or at least a unified type of certificate could really help those that are wanting to do it, but just feel sometimes that. Do I really need, or it's going to cost me a lot of money?
Okay, we're going to take a little break here, but when we come back, we're going to be listening to the rest of the interview with Rob Dunfield from the Rick Hansen Foundation. And with that, we're going to head into a song. This is Home Shakes, Call Me Up.
I can see the future will be.
The F-Word Conference is a student-organized event hosted each year by the GRSJ undergrads on the UBC campus on Musqueam Nation land. In its eighth year, the F-Word's focus this time is A Year in Review, Activism, Solidarity, and Navigating Oppressions. It's Sunday, April 30th, and will include panel discussions from students and keynote speakers, workshops, networking and community-building opportunities, and a free meal and snacks throughout the day. Join us for a meaningful and thought-provoking day of feminism and social justice advocacy. You can get updates by following the F-Word Conference on Facebook and Twitter at GRSJ Undergrads.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have entered a soundstage at
CITR
studio for a visit with
the folks who are
directing the exciting young star
Dama Dora
and
guest
Ben.
The Real World.
The Real World is the UBC Film Society's radio show.
We talk about
events,
actors,
directors,
and genres.
We come up with most of the genres.
And that's what makes it so jazzy.
It's a lot of fun and games, except not that many games.
If you think you can handle all of this, tune in Fridays from 11 to 12 on CITR 101.9 FM.
Shout out to Ed Norton!
Keep on going steady. Been like this since February. Don't know. I'm in the crowd, music's loud, people dancing. I look around, turn around, feels like I'm stranded. Do you smoke? Do you want another drink? I'm like, no. Does that mean I gotta go? I'm in my zone, no attention. Since February, no one knows. I'm all alone. Been surrounded by so many carried burdens. Been so heavy, trying to keep on going steady. Been like this since February, no one knows.
Okay, that was Toronto's own Lizzo singing her song All Alone, and before that you were listening to Homeshake, another Canadian band from Montreal actually, and that was their song Call Me Up. Welcome back to All Access Pass. You're listening to an interview we did with Rob Dunfield from the Rick Hansen Foundation. Rob Dunfield is a coordinator for the Ambassador Program. And in this next clip, you're going to hear kind of what is the Ambassador Program and what are the huge, amazing changes that they are making to their community. So kind of going back to what you do at the Rick Hansen Foundation, can you tell our listeners who may not know maybe a lot about the Ambassador Program? What is the Ambassador Program?
Well, I'll give you a little history. When Rick came back from his Man in Motion tour, and then was right away started the Rick Hansen Foundation, and that had quite a big focus on research and cure and care. I want more, quality of life. I want to look at more helping those day to day that need a better, quality of life and, opportunity to that. And so more of a public, national, and eventually global, foundation that can help as many people as possible. And so when I sat down, I've worked with Rick on many different occasions on different projects, and I've always enjoyed it. And then I was sitting down one day with him, and we started talking about all the requests that he gets to come right across the country and speak about disabilities and his vision and what he deals with day to day. And we thought, there's got to be a better way to do that, and to also create more awareness for people that have disabilities living right in each community. That somebody doesn't even know they're there. So we got to get their stories out. So we need an army of ambassadors, we ended up calling them, and we need them to go share their story and also the message around inclusiveness and accessibility. And that's sort of where it started, the Ambassador Program. And so I started, developing it and managing it. And we started out with very few ambassadors. And we've got now, supporting at any one time about 225 ambassadors across the country. And as I mentioned, their vision loss, hearing loss, mobility loss. And so they're all different disabilities. And I've really enjoyed, working with all the different communities of disabilities. And we've got amazing people, and that's really where I think, those who have heard of us across the country and our ambassadors and what they do is very, very positive. And they sort of go, wow, Rick Hansen is an amazing individual, but, John Smith is also an amazing individual too, and look what he's doing with his life and what his goals are. We need to support him and others like him to make sure that we have accessible and, you know, inclusive communities and opportunities so they can reach their full potential.
So what kind of constitutes, like, a good ambassador? Or what are you kind of, or is there a certain, like, requirements you guys are looking for?
That's a good question. I think over the years when I've been recruiting, I always, you know, because we've recruited probably, you know, 600 people with disabilities, and through design that, you know, some people their lives are busy or they're not able to continue for whatever reason, but we've had them for a year, or two, or five, or whatever it might be. Really appreciate their service and support. And so when I look for an ambassador, I look for someone that just, you know, wants to make a difference, you know, wants to, share their story and help an audience understand the importance around inclusiveness and accessibility. And, you know, that just comes through in their presentation that they are excited about life, and they might have gone through a lot to get there, but they're there now, and they really are, you know, living their life to full potential, and that definitely comes across. We want them to be transparent. We don't want them to sort of, you know, read a fairly, you know, stale script. Some sort, because anybody could do that. You could mail that to somebody, and the teacher could read about their story and our mission and those sort of things. We want somebody who's very real, very comfortable in being real about their emotions and what's happened to them, but then show more the positive, where they're going. Because I think, and I'm sure you can appreciate, Desi, you know, I think if you don't share it, sort of the darker moments, you don't, or the audience doesn't fully understand what it's taken to get to where you are now and why you're so excited about the future.
Right, so it's kind of a mix of you contacting them and then them as well contacting the organization?
Definitely. As we've grown, more and more people know about the ambassador program. I mean, we're at full capacity now. It's with our resources, and we're hoping to build more, but we want to make sure that we can meet their needs of speaking. So, you know, we don't just take, you know, anybody throughout the year. We want to make sure that when we recruit somebody, we can, again, meet their expectations, and which usually means doing probably anywhere from 2 to 7 or 8 speakings, presentations per year. Some do more. We don't, you know, it's somewhat volunteer, but we are helping to create now honorariums for ambassadors who deliver a presentation, and because we really value their time. We want to make sure that, you know, that they are support financially too.
So what kind of things can people benefit or take away from being an ambassador themselves? Maybe something that you've learned or you've seen in recruiting these ambassadors and in helping them spread their message and their experience?
That's a great question, and that's something we're always looking at is, you know, what do we want to leave behind? What, you know, and it's amazing. I've had people come up to me after, you know, maybe delivering a presentation 20 years ago and say, you know, I remember you, and you've got, you know, a family, or you did this or that, and you really inspired me, or I look at people with disabilities much differently, and that's exciting. So we want to have that real strong impact. It's not just a fleeting impact where, it's, you know, somebody goes, oh, that was a nice little story. We want to have it where it's strong, and that, you know, I guess the biggest thing we want them to take away from it is maybe two things. It's that someone with a disability is no different than anybody else. They're just, you know, it'd just be nice that we all look as, citizens, or just, contributing individuals to our community, and that hopefully, they just understand, hey, maybe we need a little bit more support in getting around than some, which means we need a more inclusive and accessible environment. But that doesn't, if anything, that should be the norm, and that we reach for, and that everybody has, a community that's accessible. And so, that, and then I think also to understand that they can make a difference. Mm-hmm. That call to action, go out and, next time you might be in a position to hire somebody with a disability, hire them, or at least look very serious on their qualification, and realize too that, maybe adapting the environment that the person is working in to be a bit more accessible is really not that expensive. So, don't just automatically think there's big costs involved, or that these people, are going to be more sick, or not as motivated, or, and it's just not true. And I hope that, they'll open their eyes to that and realize there's so many benefits they can, bring to, if they're a voter, if they're mm-hmm. a voter, vote. If you have an opportunity, make that vote. That's, for better transit or more employment arts, or better accessible housing, or whatever it might be. So we're trying to, and I hate that word normalize, but we're trying to bring that in a way to an audience and say, look, hopefully at the end of it, you'll see that this person, it just wants an opportunity to reach their full potential, and they're not asking a whole lot. And we need to get behind this and make sure that they have the same opportunities that anyone in the community would have.
Mm-hmm. So you were just mentioning about the election. Does the election affect your group?
Well, yeah. You want to make sure that they're can reach their potential, and that means to look at parties or just it's a personal thing. We're not telling you to vote for anybody in particular. Just be comfortable with your vote, but hopefully the parties will look at more opportunities for whether it's better accessible or more of accessible housing or more opportunities for employment, because I know this spinal cord injured employment rate is or unemployment rate is 70%. It's like just way out of way skewed for what it should be. And there's different reasons why people aren't able to work, and that's fine, but there's a lot of people that want to work and just need understanding employers that just are a bit more creative on how they go about supporting these people in employment opportunities.
Right. Now, on the other end of things, with people kind of attending, now I see that you, one of the options for ambassadors is to carry out presentations in schools.
Yeah.
I guess what is kind of the importance, I kind of have an idea, but maybe needs to be clarified a bit. What is kind of the importance of coming into schools and having ambassadors come into school and speak to kids?
Great point. And there's sort of a bit of a two-pronged approach in a way that, we want to make sure that, number one, our ambassadors have a real spotlight on them, and the students understand just, what somebody's capable of, and through that, feeling more comfortable with somebody with a disability. And our youth are so important because they're the future, as everybody knows. And so they're going to be the, future employer, politician, arts, or whatever, just, friend of somebody with a disability. And the more we can hit them at that age where they haven't made up their decision, or they're just so much more open-minded and understanding that it's not a big deal, that that's what we come in with. And so we want to, you know, make sure that, you know, that they come away with that. And also we want them to know Rick's story. And Rick, as we all know, is quite the icon in Canada. And I know he shies away from that title, but I think we all are, sorry. The problem is that we don't all know about his story. The ones that do definitely have been inspired, but we want to make sure the next, you know, generations that weren't part of his tour, and maybe the parents don't really remember it that well, or the teachers don't, that is shared and you know, continued. So it just, you know, that legacy of what he was able to accomplish, but then what he's doing right now, which is very relevant. And he really, he's a leader that leads by example. I think that's always something that definitely, you know, inspired me or impressed me by Rick, is that he's an incredibly hardworking individual, but also very passionate for, you know, making a difference out there in people's lives that don't have that voice, that don't or have the opportunity because of where they might live.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he really is a champion. And so that's what that story was, you know, out there. And then we want to give that to, you know, the students, that, you know, it depends on their age, whether they're elementary or high school or even university, but we want to leave a message, which every message is a little different, but that you can make a difference. You know, whatever, you know, to make sure your hallway isn't cluttered so somebody that has visual loss or somebody in a wheelchair can easily maneuver through the school, or make sure you got a ramp or whatever. And talk to your teacher, talk to your principal or your parents about how do we make our community more accessible. And so with that, the school program is, spoken to, you know, tens of thousands of kids over the years. And the program is just getting stronger and stronger. We have, you know, wonderful regional coordinators across the country that are really getting that message, you know, and that opportunity into the school districts, or administrators, teachers that start to embrace that whole message around inclusiveness. I mean, if they don't know what's available, what's offered, we definitely can look at them to, you know, be apprised of everything that's going on. So we have to make sure that this is a great program and a great curriculum that you can easily, implement into your teachings.
Mm-hmm.
That will allow you to continue to teach science that you know, semester or that year, but do it in a little different way, or parts of it, in a different way around either science curriculum or geography or, you know, social studies, whatever it might be. So it's a great curriculum that we've had wonderful developers over the years that really zoned in on what the teachers need, how easy they need to adapt it so they will use it, and how, you know, great of an experience. And then you bring an ambassador to partner with that curriculum, and now the kids understand so much more about disabilities because they've been learning it in their, you know, day-to-day curriculum. And that's exciting when an ambassador comes in and the kids are much more inquisitive or have a greater understanding. And so I think the two together, is a wonderful, approach to making sure that they're inspired, but also have a great understanding, you know, of what a person with a disability deals with and what they're capable of achieving.
Okay, we're going to take a little break here. When we come back, you're going to get to hear the rest of this interview that we did with Rob Dunfield, the coordinator for the Ambassador Program down at the Rick Hansen Foundation. With that, we're going to lead you into a song here. This is Trementia's song, Please Let's Go Away. It's off their new album, 810, 810, 810, 810, 810.
And yeah, they are an amazing band from Chile, and this is a brand new song. I hope you guys enjoy.
Ever had a hankering to ski the world-famous slopes of
Whistler?
Boy, do we have great news for you. Escape the city in one of Zipcar's many mountain-ready vehicles. Plus, get $30 back in free driving credit when you tweet a selfie on the slopes at Zipcar Vancouver. Zipcar. Wheels when you want them.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Welcome back to All Access Pass. You were just listening to the song by Valentin. It's called Dirty Eyes, and it's off their album Denial, which just came out this March. They're from Ontario, and it's kind of the product of a collaboration between producer Roland Marquardt and Brooklyn vocalist and songwriter Danny Murray. And before that, you heard Trementina's song, Please Let's Go Away. Trementina is a cool, cool band from Chile. With that, we're going to have you listen to the rest of the interview we did with Rob Dunfield, who is the leader coordinator of the Ambassador Program for the Rick Hansen Foundation.
Okay, so I think we're going to just end off here. But before I go, I just wanted to ask you, you've been at this for a while, you've met all these people who have been able to go all these schools. Are there any, like, big highlight takeaway, like, memories or stories that really have stuck with you, like, over the years?
It's hard to think of any one story, but, you know, we've had, you know, where ambassadors have gone out and talked to young students about making a difference and giving them some examples of how they might want to do that. And you have, we've had a young girl that, you know, just took it so much to heart that she went out around her her neighborhood and started to raise money, so, and also collect little, you know, toys and that she could, you know, give to people in the hospital, like stuffed animals mainly, and just to make them, you know, happier, and raise money that she gave to the Rick, you know, Hansen Foundation, and, you know, just to, and there's been many, many stories, you know, in regard to people being inspired by these ambassadors and wanting to, you know, be part of it. We have somebody that does a ramp, it's called Stop Gap, and one of our ambassadors out of Toronto, Luke Anderson, has a wonderful project that that he quit his actual his engineering job because he believes so much on supplying ramps to different you know, small businesses, so people could get, you know, in easily into a store that might have two or three steps. And so many kids really believe in that, kind of got behind it and helped paint the ramps or raise money and awareness or go have gone around to different establishments to say, hey, you know, you could use a ramp there and in the Toronto area. And so, you know, things like that. And Luke has been an ambassador for probably, you know, 12 years, a long time. An amazing individual. So we've got amazing ambassadors to, you know, continuing to, you know, expand that message in their day-to-day lives. I have had, on top of it, to have great followers that have gone, wow, you know, I want to help you what you're doing. And so it's exciting. You know, we really, you know, want to continue to create more opportunities for accessibility and inclusion. And we've done that a little bit through our, or quite a bit through our partners. Ship with the Government of Canada, where we're funding a minimum of 50 barrier busters projects this year for the Canada 150 birthday or celebration, and this is right across Canada. We've actually had so many requests that we had to actually close the opportunity to individuals that wanted to take advantage of this grant or funding, so they could create an accessible infrastructure improvement project, you know, in their own community. So it's been very successful, and if anybody wants to know about it, yeah, just go to our website, rickhansen.com, and under Access for All, and Canada 150 Signature Project, you'll see the many different projects that were supported around accessibility. So we're real excited about that, and there's many more, you know, legacy opportunities you want to create as we move forward, Desi. And I really appreciate you giving me that time to share, you know, what we do. I just encourage your listeners to just continue getting that message out there that, you know, we just need a more inclusive and accessible society, you know, right across Canada, but in B.C. especially, and also, but in B.C. definitely we have a way to go, especially in the smaller, more rural areas, and we will be delivering remote presentations to smaller communities where we don't have ambassadors, but we have the option for our, you know, anybody that wants to take on an ambassador presentation to do it through remotely, and so we try to try to support as many different environments as we can to get that message out there.
Mm. Well, awesome. So I guess I just want to thank you for joining me and speaking to us. I learned so much about the ambassador program in Rickhanson and the changes you guys have been making. I just wanted to thank you for speaking to us.
Thanks, Jesse. It's my pleasure. Have a great day.
You too.
And that concludes All Access Pass for this week. Tune in, guys, next week, Thursdays 2 to 3. We're here again. I'd like to do a big shout-out, big thank you to my Access Collective who puts the show together every week. Big shout-out to DP who helped me create and prepare for the interview. As well, thank you to listeners for tuning in, as always. Really appreciate your support. If you guys like what you heard on the air today, go to our Facebook page. It's All Access Pass. Like us, check out what we are posting. We also post our podcasts. So if you want to catch the whole episode of today, you missed a little bit, or you want to hear an old episode, go to citr.ca, look up All Access Pass. Our episodes are all there, ready to listen. You can even download them. With that, I'm going to head out here. Thank you guys for listening again. Stick around. Astro Talk is next. But for now, here is Cosmo's Midnight Song, History.
From another life, I thought of you, I can't deny. But the minute that I realized that you were a means to an end, and I wasn't gonna pretend, then you went and wandering in the cab, and now you can't take it back, 'cause we got too much history, and all you wanna do is fuck with me.
With your lying. Wild West Side. Know what I'm saying? Yeah. Break it down for me. Steady mobbing, rock, rock on. I was just a young boy living in the hub city. Eastside Compton. Back in the days when Ice Cube and Easy had everything. Talking about boy, you can't.
This is Marco. You're listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9 on the West Side at UBC. Too short.